and welcome to episode 60 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I'm Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Edgy Han.
Hey!
Hello. I'm so excited we're in the same room.
We're fresh from Furious 7!
So this week we are going to talk about, first for our little part, the Spectre teaser trailer, then we're going to go into our big review, which is for Furious 7, and then we are going to wrap up with our game again. So if you missed it, Friday night, the very first Spectre trailer drop, which if you don't know what Spectre is, God help you, but it's the 24th Bond movie, and this one is about a thing that pops up from Bond's past, and it puts him on the trail of a sinister organization. And am I, like, repeating the synopsis? I feel like I've typed it so many times I might be. It puts him on the trail of a sinister organization, and that organization is Spectre. And we kind of got our first glimpse at Spectre in that teaser trailer. I like Skyfall, Casino Royale, and a lot of the recent ones. And I've actually only seen the recent ones. So, like, I haven't seen, like, way back when Bond. So basically everything in this teaser trailer kind of meant nothing to me.
Yeah, I had the same problem. I loved Skyfall so much, and I really like Casino Royale. I didn't love Quantum Solace, but nobody did. But I feel like this trailer would have been more meaningful if I knew more about Classic Bond, because I know that's what it's referring to, but since it didn't, it just kind of left me cold. I was like, oh, okay, something from his past comes back to haunt him again. That's fine. Whatever.
I've seen some old Bond because I was a tomboy in high school, so that just kind of comes with the territory. But I didn't get anything out of this trailer. I don't know, I don't like Bond movies. I've seen a bunch of them, but I don't tend to care. Even the new ones, they just kind of leave me cold. I don't think Bond's
interesting. So did you know what Spectre was when you watched it?
No, I'm not, like I've seen them, but they left little impression. Like, I was laughing because we watched the trailer a couple seconds ago, it's because some of us hadn't seen it. And, I was like, oh, so Spectre's Hydra. Like, that was what someone said, and I was like, yeah, Spectre's Hydra.
It's because the ring.
And the ring,
that ring
look like
looks like the Hydra
logo,
symbol.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, I get that it's a teaser trailer, so they're just giving us a little bit. But, like, for me, I want to see Christoph Waltz. I don't want to see him in shadow. I want to see Christoph Waltz. So, like,
I don't even remember who Mr. White was. That's his name, right?
The guy it is him. It is him, and the only reason I remember was because I had to, like, write up his casting for our site. I just felt like that, I mean, it's fine. I know it's just a teaser, so I'm not going to, like, be too upset or anything. But just based on the very small segment I saw, it just didn't have that much personality or, like, energy to it. It was just like, oh, it's a thriller about a guy, and then he has a mysterious past. And
well, it's kind of like a trailer that's for longtime fans.
Yeah,
that are like, look at all this cool stuff from the past we're putting into this movie. Aren't you excited?
But so if it means nothing to you, then it just feels
it's a long lead teaser, so it's not meant to speak to us. And, like, let's be serious, we're going to have to see it anyway, so, like, it doesn't, you know,
it
doesn't matter.
Those new images they released look cool, though. The stuff in Mexico City, that was all nice and colorful and fun.
Yeah,
I mean, that piqued my interest much more so than this teaser trailer.
Agreed. All of that looked more fun.
It's also weird watching that trailer after having seen Furious 7. Like, it just...
Yes.
It just feels like, just give it to me! What is this teasing shit?
This is why they don't show trailers after movies. They show them before movies.
It's a fair point. That's on me.
Yeah.
All right.
It's on me. All right, so on to Furious 7?
Yes.
Let's do Furious 7.
Deckard Shaw seeks revenge against Dominic Toretto and his family for the death of his brother. But the real synopsis of this movie, and really the entire franchise, is beautiful bald men chase each other around the world.
I mean, really, though.
Yeah, that's really,
that,
like,
is what it is.
Yeah, like, they're like, oh, there's people named Deckard and Dominic, and you're like, beautiful bald men chase each other around the world.
Yeah.
There's so many bald heads in it. Like, it's gotten to the point where I think they just cast Jai Mahal.
How many bald characters are there?
Okay, so there's Tyrese's, there's Dominic Toretto, there's Jason Statham, there's The Rock.
There's Jai Mahanso.
Mm-hmm. That's five.
Did you say Tyrese?
I did. He was the first one I said.
Yes.
So that's five.
Ludacris has short hair,
he has
short
hair.
Bald.
He's not bald.
Paul Walker, also
Paul
short hair,
not bald. Buzz, yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez, definitely
I think we're
not
at
bald.
Five.
Yeah. That,
all right, five is the total. That is very important information.
So, in Furious 8, which I was saying should be Too Fast, Too Furious, forever equals 8. Yeah. Guys, bookmark it, because that's obviously what it'll
be. You're welcome, Universal.
So that one, they'll have to have 6. They'll have to bring in a bald lady is what needs to happen. Like Natalie Portman circa V for Vendetta or something.
I was thinking the same exact thing during the movie. I was like, where is Natalie Portman with her V for Vendetta haircut for this?
Or they could just do Charlize Theron from Mad Max.
Yeah.
She's pretty freaking bald. Or
Shailene Woodley always seems like she's willing to cut her hair off for a role.
That's true.
Anyway, we spent a lot of time fantasy casting this next movie. That's
I thought this movie was fantastic. I got to go see it during the midnight screening at South by Southwest, and I don't think there could have been like a more ideal environment for this, because it was like it was a big batch of press people in there, but I swear we weren't just surrounded by like festival goers. We were surrounded by people who are so incredibly passionate about this crazy series about cars flying out of planes and doing all that. And it, but like it really did register to people on
also,
like a deeper level, and it made me really like a million times more hyped than I've ever been, like being amongst that kind of crowd.
I completely agree that I tend to have the kind of experience I have going to Fast and Furious movies when you go to a revival movie where everybody already knows what to expect and just wants to cheer at the parts they love. That's what these movies feel like the first time you're seeing them in theaters, because the audience is so invested and excited and you're there together and you're throbbing and kicking, shouting, and it's you know, this movie really plays to that, and like they know their audience, they know what they can get away with. They like do all these big funny moments and these insane action moments, and they
and they're always like, they're never afraid of being cheesy.
Yeah,
they're just
the drama's so like telenovela, and everyone gets real serious.
Well, that's kind of why it works though, because it knows what it is and it embraces it, and it doesn't try to act all serious.
It's not
like
we're
really
gonna be
happen.
Gritty and
but
smart.
I will say, I think the action in this is more grounded than any other one. Because, like, we know.
I'm sorry, literally less grounded. They're flying.
Not in terms of, like, what the cars are actually doing, but, like, the way it's shot. Like, I kind of felt like I was in it a little more.
Wow, I really didn't like the action as much as what
really?
Justin Lin did. Yeah,
oh,
I thought James Wan's direction.
I thought I was, like, a lot more oriented. Like, I really had a much clearer sense of where everything was.
I think that the orientation thing, to some extent, like, I thought he did okay with that. The problem was just that, like, the movie, the way it's cut together is so frenetic that it's, like, kind of hard to, especially the fist fights I was having the biggest problem with. Because you hire people like Tony Jaa and Ronda Rousey, who can, like, oh my god, like, those are people who, like, turn fighting into an art form.
Ronda
like,
Rousey, like, full-on punching someone in the face while wearing heels and a dress is one of my favorite things I've seen so far this year. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, but my problem was, like, there are people that I want to just kind of, like, sit back and watch their thing. And the way that the movie is, the way that the fist fights are cut, it kind of felt like, I mean, it's nice that it's Ronda Rousey, but it could have really just been any actress. It's nice that it's Tony Jaa, but it really could have just been any actor, because it's, like, it's really disjointed.
The pace,
you
the
don't
cutting,
get,
is
like,
so,
the,
yeah.
It's
like when you want to show a dance sequence and you want to show what a great dancer they are, you leave the take long, and they don't do that in this. And I get that it's to amp up the rah, 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 but I agree with Angie that it takes away from it a bit. But for me, like, you mentioned the geography, and I actually thought it was kind of sloppy, because there's so many scenes where we are in three different places at once, cutting to different action sequences, and I kept having to go, wait, where are we, and readjust, because I don't think Juan has the skill set of Lin there. It's still very good. It's just, to me, like, I found the action scenes in, like, 5 and 6 to be tighter and a little more exciting.
Well,
it's
funny, that scene with the truck where it's about to go over the cliff and stuff, like,
that's
that,
very good. But
that I knew, like, everything, and there were so many little things
there's,
going
there's
on
some really
once.
Good moments. And I mean, this is also, like, almost a wall-to-wall action movie, so there's tons of good stuff. That I liked a lot, but I also think that's because you have, like, this one thing to focus on. I think they do a really exceptional job with that scene. And there's parts of it, I think, that are great. It's just that comparing them to the past two, I feel like that's one area where Juan doesn't really, you know, it, to his credit, it does feel like a continuation of the series. It fits really well with the things they've established. If you like the other movies, you're going to like this one. But, like, that's one thing he misses on. And Angie and I were talking about another thing he misses on, which seems small, but, like, Fast and Furious, we're
okay, you know how we're talking about how there's all these bald, beautiful men? Very few of them take off their shirts.
I mean, that's boiling it down to the core argument, but basically, like, there's a lot of boogie shaking and girls in little outfits and stuff, as tends to happen in these movies, and fine. But, like, what sets Fast and Furious apart from so many other action franchises is that they were kind of an equal opportunity ogler when it came to men and women in the last couple of movies, because, like, Justin Lin, like, knew to give us just a little bit. Give us a little Tyra Banks without a shirt on. That ain't gonna hurt anybody.
Just have Ludacris be singing around shirtless for no reason.
And, like, in this movie, they have shirts on at points where it makes no sense to have shirts on. Like, he's on a beach explaining why he's wearing a shirt, and you're like, just take your shirt off! Like, what is happening?
Tater, get the fuck out!
But it's like, it's, it, I know it seems a silly anything to concentrate on, but just because the other movies, I think you wrote a piece on that specifically.
Yeah.
The other movies did such a great job with, like, not just diversity casting in a way that actually made sense, but also in appealing to men and women. It's kind of a bummer that in this one you get lots of tits and ass,
feels,
and you don't get a lot of guys.
It feels, I mean, it still does better by its female
characters
than I think a lot of other franchises do. I feel like we're nitpicking a little bit. I mean, these are all really valid complaints, but, you know, like,
but
the action
from a place
good,
of, like,
this is still good.
This movie's so exciting and so exhilarating, you kind of just want to go, like, okay, so it's amazing, you're going to want to go see it if you've seen the other ones, but what else can we talk about?
It feels very slightly more, like, boy-oriented in that sense, and I agree. And it didn't like, destroy my enjoyment of the movie. Like, Michelle Rodriguez, actually, her role is actually beefed up a lot from the last couple
movies. There were more female characters in the last one, too. They had, like, a little girls' club for a good portion.
Yeah,
they did.
They write out a lot of the female characters in this one, where they're like, yeah, you're going to go over here.
Or Jordana Brewster.
No,
like, let's
there's
show
a reason Jordana Brewster keeps
question.
Getting shoved out, and it's because in a cast that is made up of people who are mostly surviving on charisma and not acting talent, Jordana Brewster is at the bottom of that list.
She has neither.
At least she's so pretty, guys. She's so pretty.
Did you see her in, like, the banner where she's, like, shoved in the back?
Yeah, they're like, and yeah, over there. Because, like, she's lovely, but, like, you know, I mean, it's the funny thing is when you look back at Fast and Furious, it was a goofy car race movie, and I don't think anybody could have projected what it was going to become.
No.
But what's crazy is that, you know, the actors in it aren't great, and they're still not great, but, like, most of them are so charismatic you just don't care. But, like, you pointed out that, like, Michelle Rodriguez has a lot more to do in this movie.
She's not up. They put a lot more dramatic weight on her shoulders.
She's a lot of
and she's
scenes.
Not up to it. So I remember after seeing Fast Five being like, wow, Paul Walker is one of those actors that makes you appreciate how difficult acting is because he makes it look so hard. And I was getting that from Michelle Rodriguez, who I was like, huh, thank you for reminding me that not any idiot can do this because this looks really hard when you do it. Which it's, like, not supposed to. I'm sorry, though. I
no,
still enjoy
right,
her. Like,
cause
when she gets to just do, like, quippy one-liners, she's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
when they try to make her be, like, dramatic and serious is when I was like, okay.
Yeah,
it's like her tone of voice, too. I think she permanently sounds disinterested in everything.
And that's exactly it. She's, like, crying, and she's like, dumb, you can't leave me dumb. And it's, like, the same energy. She's like, don't worry about it. It's like she says everything like that.
Everyone take a shot because Christy did her
dead on.
Of the lady on Michelle. That was a good one. I want to hear your Vin Diesel.
My Vin Diesel. Wait, who? What is it?
It's about family.
Right. Let me try again. Let me settle into it.
It's about family. Does that work better?
No, it just makes you sound drunk.
And you're like going for like that nasal approach. I know what you're doing.
I'm trying to get there. He's great in this. They have a good arc in this. It is kind of wild because, of course, it is. Farewell of Paul Walker, and they're very aware of that, and, like, obviously the movie was, one, rewritten so that they could finish it without him, and two, rewritten so that they could say goodbye to Brian, and we're not going to get into specifically how they say goodbye to Brian just yet, but it's interesting because, like, the character Brian doesn't seem to have a lot to do in this movie, and I feel like they built in scenes specifically to give him
I feel like
arc.
What they did was, there's a lot of scenes where you can... I will say that considering the severe limitations they're working with, I thought that they did such a good job. And if I weren't following the news and specifically, and like if I weren't like someone who watches movies for a living, and if I weren't specifically looking for it, I probably honestly like wouldn't have noticed until maybe the very end where it becomes more of over goodbye.
There was one specific shot where I think I picked up on it, that it wasn't him.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I didn't notice a single thing.
I kind of figured out that what they did was they give him a character arc, and it's actually a pretty strong arc, but the way they work around it is they have a lot of characters where other characters are talking about him, and he's kind of shuffling in the background, or, like, they kind of, like, show him from, like, you know, from, like, this angle where it kind of looks like him, but if you know that it probably wasn't, then you figure it out.
Yeah.
And then... I mean,
there's
all
a lot of things where he's shot like this way, and it's and you're
or
like
his face is like a little bit obscured, or like it's in the shadow.
It's very well done,
like,
but it's
like
you know,
like, if you're looking for it, you can figure it out.
It's just that there's like you know, this is a movie where they're all about the face, and then all of a sudden you're not really seeing Paul Walker's face, and you're like, oh, okay, but really subtly done, and really beautifully done. I think the ending is going to make a lot of people really happy.
Yeah.
And it was elegant. I think.
And
it
I thought
really
Jason Statham. Did we count him?
Oh my God.
Six.
We didn't six.
Oh, shit.
Six.
They should have had seven. I mean, it's called Furious 7.
I wonder if there was someone ball that was like, I wonder if they went to Kurt Russell and was like, can you just take this down? And he was like, I am Kurt motherfucking Russell. No.
They were both really fun in this, but no.
Yeah. I can't believe we didn't get
to that. We should probably talk about Jason Statham's whole little operation and like what they get into with the plan.
Oh,
it kind
cares.
Of doesn't have any influence in the
I don't
entire
care.
Movie.
The plot of this movie sort of does, well, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
The plot of the movie serves absolutely no purpose.
No. There's one character that every single time he showed up, I was like, oh, you're still a thing. And it's like a person that's like in the movie a fair amount, and I just kept forgetting he existed, and I, even right now, like, what did he want? I actually honestly don't remember.
Really, what I like about Furious 7, maybe more than the past movies, and maybe for part of the reason we were talking about, is that it is such a hairy balls movie. It's just balls! Like, it's like every kind of macho, including girl macho, because the girl fighting this is so fucking ferocious. But, like, you've got, like, The Rock with his brand of, like, when they introduce The Rock, he is covered in sweat while filling out paperwork, because he just did some iron.
Good.
Even, like,
but I'm just... Harry Balls movie is just, it doesn't sound appealing.
I'm just, I feel like people get what I'm saying.
It's like sweaty and, alright.
But that's, this movie is slicked in sweat. Anyway. And then there, you've got Vin Diesel's brand of machismo, then you've got Tony Jaa and his brand of machismo, then you've got Jason Statham, who I love that everything they shoot Statham is, it's like always just like, motherfucking Jason Statham, like every
shot.
Like,
there are like 8 shots where you see a car door open and then like a black boot like stomp on the ground and then it pans up and it's Jason Statham.
Who.
Yeah,
it happens like so many times.
Really good banter in this one, where like, did you think this was gonna be a street fight? You're like, oh shit. Like, there's like, yeah, I was,
that was so
everybody gets to feel like they're like watching a Yo Mama contest in this movie because you're just like, oh no! Like, it's amazing. It's just so much, like, the theater was freaking out, the theater was chuckling and cheering and screaming and like, yeah, it's a great movie. It's, you should see it opening weekend with people that are super fucking pumped to see it.
Yeah. Well, we should wrap up really soon, right? I think we're almost out of time. But really quick, the ending. So we're gonna go into spoilers.
Yeah,
really wanna talk about, Paul Walker's goodbye. So you were saying before this that, spoilers. Yeah, so you were saying that you felt like unless they killed him off, it wouldn't be satisfying.
I wrote about that on Cinema Blend shortly after he died, where they were discussing about whether or not they were going to do it, and Universal, I think, was saying that they were not going to kill him off. They said flat out, like, we're not going to let him ride off into the sunset. And I said, that doesn't make any sense, because to condense, the history of Fast and Furious can be, you know, boiled down to hashtag family. It's very important to everybody that, like, you do whatever you can for your family. So it never made sense to me that you could write Brian out, because if anybody in his family was in trouble, he would have to come back. Now, in this movie, they try to basically set up that he has to be a father to his child now, and so because of that, like, it's really time for him to go. And which is something they could have done last time, so it feels a little weak, whatever, but the way they do it is they're all on a beach, he's playing with his son Jack and his wife, and they all look at each other and they realize that it's time for him to move on. And then they have this very, like, not so thinly coded conversation about how you never have to say goodbye to family. And
how they're brothers.
And their
like,
brothers.
They have like a deep bond. It's actually really moving.
It's really beautiful. And then they walk away, and then the final scene is Vin Diesel on a road by himself, and this song is playing about how, like, you always want another day with your best friend, and it's just so like, and then Paul Walker drives up beside him and says, did you think you were going to get away without saying goodbye? And the two of them drive side by side and then take different roads, and that's the end of the movie. And it's a really elegant little way to deal with it, and I changed my mind watching that ending. I thought I would never be satisfied unless he got a big, glorious death, and I wanted to cry with the audience over him, but instead, having this elegant moment where it got to be about the joy he brought us instead of the pain his death brought was actually really beautiful.
You know, you actually were changing my mind on this, like, just as you were speaking, because on my way over here, I was like, well, I still think it would have made more narrative sense if he died, because, like you said, like, the whole thing is you never abandon your family, but, you know, I think you're right. I think the idea was to focus on, like, giving him as happy a send-off as possible, as opposed to, I mean, they
killed care. These movies also aren't about narrative sense, and I think if you ended a Fast and Furious movie on, like, a somewhat sour note, even if he did go out in, like, a blaze of gore.
Oh, I don't know, I'm
like,
so bitter about the end of
Savory Sex. I was gonna say, Han and Giselle forever, guys.
Oh.
But, I mean, like, no, I think they handled it in a way that was really well done.
Yeah.
Guys, I just figured out how they can bring Han back.
Twin brother?
Yes.
Yes. Yes! Triplets! Quadruplets if you have to! Just bring him back.
Yeah.
Bring him back. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, what's the final verdict? You should go see Furious 7 because it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, do it.
That was Car for Go See Furious 7.
I think we're freaking doing it with all these noises and impressions tonight.
What is happening? We're going to move into our game section. Let me bring it up on my phone. So last week's game was What April Fool's Hoax Would You Like to Start? Give us your movie news hoax to win a shout out on our next week's news show.
And our winner this week is Jose Garcia Jr., or at Juniorific, whose answer was Breaking. Disney announces a live-action Toy Story. If you guys want to see my feels about some of Disney's live-action stuff, go to Pajiba. I have recently written about Mulan, which yay, and the live-action Pooh, which no. Well done, Jose. Thanks for playing.
This week, we are going to give you this caption. This photo. Yeah, we have... This week, we're going to give you this photo. Whatcha?
Yeah.
And this is from Spectre. And take a look at this and give us a caption for it. And if we like your caption best, we will give you a shout out on next week's show.
So, that's it for episode 60 of Popcorn and Prosecco. As always, you can find us on YouTube. You can catch us on iTunes, where we would love if you could rate and comment about us. Then go to popcornprosecco.com. We are on Facebook. Go like us there. And then you can talk to us on our Twitter account at popcornprosecco and reply to our caption contest for the week. And then you can also find all three of us all over the internet as well. Christy, want to go first?
You can find me at Christy Puchko on Twitter. That's KRISTYPUCHKO. And I write for all over the web. So you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me at PNemiroff on Twitter, and I write for Collider.com. So thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Have a Fast and Furious weekend, everyone.
There was a part in the movie where he's like, we can't just be fast anymore. I was like, say we also have to be furious!
I wanted it so bad.
And
I
then he
more
did
than anything.
That was the biggest letdown of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoilers.
Sorry. I just don't want you guys to get your hopes up the way I did.
I don't have friends. I got family.